Matthew chapter 23 is the passage where Jesus spoke so condemningly to the Pharisees and scribes. In this passage, he had many words of condemnation that they were hypocrites. But I'd like to call attention to a point that Jesus brings up here in this passage when he says, "Call no man your father." That statement is found in Matthew chapter 23, beginning with about verse 8. And it's in this context where Jesus was speaking to them about these hypocritical ways that they had developed among themselves. But in verse 9 it is, he said, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, even the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The Pharisees and scribes had developed in Israel over a period of time where Israel had been unfaithful. They had gone into captivity back in the Old Testament. And the feeling of authority, of wanting to remain God's people with His blessings, had come into the religious leadership. It had transferred more from God to the king of Israel and then to the religious leadership. But in Jesus' day, Jesus had so much to say about the display that they made of their prideful ways among these religious leaders. How that they would stand on the street corner, they would make a show to be seen of men, of their giving of alms and their prayers and their fasting. Often Jesus even mentioned the fact that in their teaching of the law, they were hypocritical there because they would bind burdens upon others, but then themselves they would not keep those. He talked about the fact that they did not honor their own parents because in their interpretation of the law, they made some of those laws very rigid. But in other ways, they almost made a loophole for themselves that they could take the easy way out. Matthew 15, he talked about that. And in their questions that they brought to Jesus, they were trying to trap him. And in Matthew 28 and verse 22 and verse 18, where they came and they said, "Master, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" His answer was, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" So in Matthew 23, Jesus raised the heat on them. He came down upon them in one of his final sermons here in the temple area in Jerusalem. One of the concerns I believe that Jesus had with the Pharisees was that how that would affect his own disciples in as they were affected by the Pharisees. And we can see that it did have some effect upon them, because Jesus was constantly even trying to teach his disciples that they were not to seek places of elevated importance to themselves, but they were to seek a place of humility. It was James and John and their mother who came to Jesus to ask to be seated on the right and the left hand in the kingdom. But Jesus said it would not be given to them that. They had not learned this lesson of true humility. And he talked about that. In John chapter 13, he took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. So there was this pridefulness about the Pharisees that Jesus saw as being a hypocritical way. And his disciples, he had to constantly be teaching them, lest they would fall into that pattern of becoming, seeking who would be the greatest in the kingdom. The way that a person would be the greatest in the kingdom would be not by comparing ourselves to one another, but looking within ourselves, how can I grow? How can I be more the servant of Christ that I need to be in my life? Looking within ourselves, in other words, rather than comparing ourselves to one another and being concerned about who is the greatest in the kingdom. God will take care of that when the time comes, if there is to be someone who is greatest in the kingdom. Our place is to be a servant as Jesus was a servant when he came into this world. He said in Mark chapter 10, in that very context where they had been arguing among themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom, he reminded them in verse 45 that, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Well, when he comes here to Matthew chapter 23, he begins to point out the many different ways in which the Pharisees and the scribes are in error in their practice and their worship before God. Let's begin reading in Matthew 23, verse 1. "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you, do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We'll stop there with the reading, because it goes on further in describing the ways in which they miss the purpose of the law. But we can see that they worked hard to distinguish themselves, not just by living according to the law, but by putting themselves up there as some type of special elevated class of people above the others. They did that by designing special clothing, vestments, and phylacteries that they wore on their garments, some kind of a tassel that hung down. And the purpose of that being to distinguish them, how holy they were and how worthy of honor they were. Smarter, better educated than the other people. So in their sermons, they demanded perfection of their followers. But did they strive for perfection? No, because he said, they will not touch those with their finger. That was hypocritical. And they not only did not want to dress like others and set themselves apart, but they wanted these religious titles to be given to them. Rabbi, Father, Teacher. Each one of those terms was plainly a religious title that they expected to be addressed this way when they were in the presence of others. Each of those has a place. Rabbi, teacher, father. Those are legitimate terms. What was wrong with it? Was the pride that they were seeking to have a special title given to them in that way. So Jesus taught his followers, don't call anyone a title like that. Today we see examples like that out in the religious world, where people want to refer to preachers sometimes as reverend, or even giving the title pastor to evangelists, which was never the proper term for an evangelist. It was the term that was used for elders or bishops or pastors, simply three terms that, as Brent pointed out in one of the lessons, that was a name that for the eldership, for the elders in the New Testament times. But it wasn't intended to be a special title, that they were to be addressed as pastor or bishop or elder, so and so. And we see some of the followers of the Mormon who wear that title as young men upon their badges that they have. Elder Jones, Elder Smith. And yet they don't even have the qualifications to be an elder, because one of the first ones is that is to be the husband of one wife. Jesus is talking about why it's wrong for men to be given that elevated position. We're to all be brothers in Christ. And to have Christ is the one who is to receive that honor. He is the teacher, not those of us who are here on the earth. So we don't wear a special collar turned around backward. We don't wear a long robe when we go into the pulpit. We're simply brothers in Christ. And that is one thing that I have always been taught and has always been something that I have seen in the church as I have grown up in it. Have not seen that type of thing. Get out into the religious world, we see that being done. We see that being practiced. Now, elders within the church, there are pastors. Elders are pastors. They are bishops. They are elders. And in the local congregation, they are overseers of the flock. But notice what the Bible says to them in 1 Peter chapter 5, because it says they are not to be lords over the flock, but to be examples. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So here we have that elders are taught not to be lords over the flock, not to be addressed with special titles in that way that the Pharisees were seeking to have applied to them, and not certainly to create a special title of something that like was being done among these religious leaders among the Jews. This does not mean that an elder should not be respected, but the respect is to be given because of the life that is lived and the work that is being done, not as a special title. Yes, we're told that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13, speaking of those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, said to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. But certainly not in the sense of giving a special title that people are expected to call them by that title and look up to them as being Father so-and-so. Now, there are a few passages that the word Father is used, but in an entirely different way. Because in those passages that we've been looking at there, Matthew chapter 23, 1 Peter chapter 5, these are in reference to a spiritual hierarchy, avoiding that within the church of the Lord. God does not want us to have a spiritual hierarchy where certain men are elevated above other brothers and sisters. But as Paul is writing, he sometimes speaks of himself as being like a father to Timothy. For example, we would wonder, perhaps that statement that is made in Matthew 23, call no man your father. What about our earthly father? Can we address our own father and refer to them as father, as a loving way of relationship that we have within the family? Well, I believe that that is perfectly okay. I don't think that is what Jesus is referring to at all here. It's a different use of the term. When we speak of our earthly fathers and simply call them by that for what they are our father, and we can show them that respect. The law of Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And we can address our father and our mother as that. When it comes to spiritual matters, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 was speaking about the church there. And beginning with verse 14, he said, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. Now here he's talking about the fact that he was instrumental in teaching them the gospel, and that he loved them because of that, as a father would love his children. And that's all he's referring to here in this way. He felt that way about all the congregations that he worked with and taught. He had a special relationship with them. If there was that type of relationship that some of us might have with a person that we had baptized or we had taught the gospel, we might look at them as like a child to us. We taught them and they were a babe in Christ, and we have studied the Bible with them and watching them grow spiritually. Might think of them as a father in the children. But that's not saying that they would come up and refer to us as a title by Father Bailey because maybe I had studied the Bible with that person. That's not the same thing at all as what Jesus is referring to over there in Matthew chapter 23. It's not a feeling of religious superiority. It's a term of affection because of the relationship involved in teaching the gospel and being an example and a mentor and a help to one another as a younger Christian grows up in the faith in Christ. Paul referred to Timothy this way, as his child in the faith. And in several occasions, Paul talked about how he had a special love and affection to Timothy, going back to the time when he was a young man in the church and had come out and began to work with Paul back in Acts the 16th chapter. And he talks about that in his letters in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. He said, to Timothy, my child in the faith. Well, what is he referring to? He's talking a true son in the faith. Talking about the fact that going back to when he was younger, Paul had such a part of working with Timothy, and they had been so close over such a long period of time. He even referred to motherhood in that way also in some passages, that Paul was like a mother to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as he was speaking there, He said, talking about how he had worked with them and teaching them the gospel and some of those things. He said, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, that we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." So he not only referred to himself as a father, but he also as a mother to the church. Just talking about the love that he had for them and how they had seen them growing, and just like a mother would for her children. These are not contrary or contradiction to the principle that Jesus is establishing when he says, "Call no man father upon the earth." In 1 John chapter 1, or chapter 2 and verse 1, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John also speaks to the church in this way. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." John almost seems to consistently talk to them this way in 1st, 2nd John, and 3rd John. That is, he is addressing the Christians. He will often say, "My little children." Well, apparently he was a very older man at this time, maybe 80 or 90 years old. And he was speaking affectionately to them. But there's no evidence to indicate that the Christians referred to John as Father John or Peter as Father Peter and gave them this title, because that would be directly contrary to the things that Jesus was talking about, that, or that they would go around with some kind of long robes and special fringes on their garments, setting themselves apart or setting themselves up as a special person above others within the church. That's so contrary to the principles of Christ that I do not believe the apostles ever did such a practice. Although later on in history, that practice did begin. Some of the Christians did begin to call each other Father and other titles religiously, and that led to this spiritual hierarchy that we see happening in not only the Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox, some of the different religious groups that are still in existence today have that spiritual hierarchy. And those men that are up there on that pedestal, they expect those titles to be given to them when you address them. It goes directly to the thing that Jesus was warning about there in those passages. So in the body of Christ, the Lord's body of Christ, that respects and follows these principles, we teach the humility, the type of gentle leadership that Christ would approve and teaches us to have, to be an example, not to lord it over the flock, but to be a leader who leads through the teaching and through the example of wisdom that is shown based on the teaching of God's Word. So tonight, as we're here, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. And there may be those tonight that wish to obey the gospel of Christ. We would exhort you to understand the humility and the principle of love that we have within the body of Christ to one another, that we respect one another and we honor one another in a biblical way, seeking to follow the teachings of Jesus, who was our example, and he humbled himself and went to the cross. We're going to stand and sing, and we invite you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation.